Yep, we hear you. Let's get you some beautiful windows that won't warp at warp speed. Durable, weather-friendly Vibrix windows and a seamless professional process. A free, no-pressure renewal by Andersen consultation is just a call or click away. When it's time to talk windows, we'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.
This podcast is supported by Elite Sports Travel. Visit elitesportstravel.co.uk to view the various packages available to watch live NFL games in the US. Bookings are currently available for the Super Bowl in February and also the 2023 season in Las Vegas. Now let's get into the podcast.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Neil Reynolds Podcast in association with Elite Sports Travel. This is a different one this week. We're going to mix it up for the next few weeks. We're going to be, of course, continuing to tell the stories of lives spent in football, but we're also going to have a look at the divisions around the NFL and see what teams need as they go into the offseason. By March the 13th, teams can start offering contracts to free agent players. Free agency will open on March the 15th. The NFL draft is at the end of April. So this is the time when you build your team to try and do what the Kansas City Chiefs did just a couple of weeks ago, and that's win the Super Bowl. And this is a very different one as well because I'm face-to-face with producer Gary Hayes. What a treat.
What a privilege, Neil.
What, for me or you?
For both of us.
Both of us. Emotional, isn't it?
I know.
It's emotional.
This is great. I like doing this. It's better than talking into my computer where I feel like no one's around and I'm just talking to myself.
So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at the AFC East and the NFC East. And I'm basically just going to give an overview of where these teams are at, what players they might lose, and answer some of your questions in the mailbag. And it's a division where three of the four teams are over the salary cap as we head towards the off-season. So they've got some financial work to do. Gary, we'll start with the Buffalo Bills, shall we?
Please do, Neil. I'm really interested to hear what you've got to say. But just quickly on the salary caps, how difficult is that when it comes to the financial wranglings and, you know, moving and shaking?
Yeah, it depends how much you're... If you're like 40 or 50 million over, then you're in trouble. You've got to cut proven veterans. Some of the teams we're going to talk about here, Buffalo... maybe a bit in trouble, but some of the teams like Miami and the Jets, they're kind of there or thereabouts, and they can, I was going to say hide the money. They can finagle the finances.
Sounds like they're running a racket. Yeah. Sounds like they're Manchester City. Different sport.
That was send all complaints to Gary Hayes. Right, let's look at the Bills. I mean, they were the Super Bowl favourites of many in 2022. They went 13-3. It was looking good. Beat Miami in the wild card round, lost badly at home to Cincinnati in the divisional round, and they are $18.7 million over the cap. Gary, I'd heard a lot of talk about they ran out of gas. Damar Hamlin, of course, at the end of the season, that sort of emotional thing can impact a team.
Well, I remember chatting to you at the start of the season. I always get your tip, and you were saying about the Bills then, and they did start off amazing, didn't they?
They were
looking great.
And then
maybe the Damar Hamlin stuff did get in the way, because I think when you suffer that and the way that they did, it was horrific, wasn't it? And obviously they lost. Well, they lost a game, as in the game was wiped off the schedule. And I think when you see that in any sport, when a team suffers something that horrific. Mentally, it must be difficult to keep yourself focused and also get yourself back up and going again, right? Especially in the NFL, where it's a sport that, you know, isn't very forgiving when you're not on it.
Yeah, they do have one of the top five or six rosters in the NFL. A genuine superstar at quarterback in Josh Allen. The offense was second overall. They were seventh in rushing, seventh in passing, best in the league on third downs. Turnovers were a real problem for Josh Allen, and defense was good, sixth overall, second in scoring. So this is a team that's very close, but now the roster shuffling begins.
So who are the key free agents that you think they could lose?
So Jordan Poyer was an all-pro safety in 2021 and a pro bowler in 2022. Linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, he had 565 tackles in five seasons. He's been to a couple of pro bowls. I think he's going to leave. Devin Singletary, their leading rusher from last year, is a free agent, and cornerback Dane Jackson as well. So I think Edmonds is definitely going to go. Poyer maybe tests the market. They'd love to have him back because he's a real leader of that team. But there's a couple of big names there, and I don't think Devin Singletary is the complete answer at running back, so I wouldn't be surprised if they let him walk.
And just quickly, you've listed the salaries here that they're going to be able to shave off by losing these players. It's incredible when you see it that Case Keenum, $6 million contract.
Well, so these guys are free agents, so that's what they made last year. So if you look at someone like Poyer, he's going to want more than that. If you're a good backup quarterback, you're going to make $8 million a year. And
that's
Keenum's
incredible,
an experienced
though, when you compare
corner.
Him with Dane Jackson, who you've listed his stats here, 57 tackles, 2 interceptions last year, and he's on $850,000. Now, to you and me, that's an amazing salary. But to someone who's in this team where they're ultra competitive and they're Super Bowl favourites at one point, that the backup quarterback is on almost 10 times as much.
It's the value of the position. It's such a valuable position. They've got 6 picks in the draft, including a first rounder at number 27. I think they need a wide receiver to go along with Stephon Diggs. And keep an eye on that one if you're a Bills fan, because does he want out? He's been talking about hinting at a potential trade. I think they upgrade their offensive line. I'd love them to get a premier running back. Saquon Barkley is a free agent from the New York Giants, and we'll talk about the Giants a little bit later in the podcast. I don't know if they're going to let him out, but if they did, I think he would be a missing piece. Like last year, they were supposedly in for Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara. I think if they could get themselves a Saquon Barkley, that's the last piece they need.
And just quickly on Stephon Diggs, what did you make of him in that Bengals game when he was on the touchline?
I've seen that before from him. It's not great. It's not that sort of body language you want from a leading player like that, sulking and outbursts towards Josh Allen, who completely ignored him. So,
but they've got a good relationship, right?
They do. They're really good friends. And I think Stephon Diggs should be careful what he wishes for. There aren't many better opportunities for a wide receiver than playing with Josh Allen.
So what are your final thoughts on the Bills?
Very good team, but they're always going to be in a fight with Cincinnati and Kansas City. The AFC is a really powerful conference right now. If Josh Allen can cut down on the turnovers, they get Von Miller back potentially on defense. The Super Bowl window is still open for the Buffalo Bills, but I don't feel as confident as I did heading into last offseason when they were my pick. They were my favourites.
Okay, so let's move on to the team that the Bills defeated in the wild card round. Your Miami Dolphins. Now. You can't be biased.
No, I can't. They're a very streaky team last year. They won 3, then they lost 3. They won 5, then they lost 5. They got into the playoffs with a Week 18 win against the Jets. 9-8 record. By the end of the year, they were down to their third string quarterback in Skylar Thompson. They'd already lost Tua Tagovailoa, Teddy Bridgewater, and they lost to Buffalo in the wildcard round 34-31. So, season of great promise. Mid-season, best offense in the NFL, all kind of fell apart. It all kind of hinges on Tua, really.
So let's look at the free agents they could lose, because one of them is a friend of the podcast, Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, I think he will move on because they've put a real emphasis on the wide receiver position. He had 73 catches 2 years ago, just 32 last season. It cost him $11 million last year. It will be a lot more this year. Teddy Bridgewater is up for free agency. He's like a Case Keenum. You pay him good money because he's a proven backup who's started 50, 60 games in the NFL. But Miami fell apart as soon as he came into the lineup. So do you need to invest that kind of money in your backup quarterback, or do they elevate Skylar Thompson? Eric Rowe was good at safety. He's up for free agency. But there's not too many kind of big names. Melvin Ingram, Elandon Roberts at linebacker. But here's an issue, I think, which is going under the radar a bit. Running backs, top two runners on the roster, Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, are free agents. I mean, everything really from Miami was about the pass. They ranked 4th in passing attack last year.
So I don't want to curse the podcast or tell people not to come on here, but
Raheem as well.
He's another friend of the podcast.
He was decent. He led Miami in rushing last year. And I think if he hadn't been injured down the stretch, it would have been even more of a factor. So Miami have got a little bit of wheeling and dealing to do. I should have said they're a little bit over the cap, not too much. They're in decent shape, really. They're just about over it. But they're not very good for draft picks at the moment.
Well, I was going to move on to that because famously they had the first round draft pick with Tua a couple of years ago, which our mutual friend was very excited about.
Martin Lydon. He had a little cry over that. If you're listening, Martin, it was a beautiful moment.
So will Martin be crying happy or sad tears during this draft?
Well, they might not have a lot of reason to get excited. They've taken a different approach. They accumulated all these draft picks and they decided not to spend them on college players, effectively. They went out and got Tyreek Hill last year. They traded for Bradley Chubb from Denver. He had a 2.5-3 sacks when he joined Miami, so that's an issue. He's got to pick it up. And they don't pick until number 52 in this draft, and they only have 5 selections. No first rounder. They gave up the one for Chubb, and they lost a first round pick when the owner, Stephen Ross, last year was found guilty of tampering, trying to get Sean Payton as head coach and Tom Brady as his quarterback, and they slammed him for it. So the Dolphins are going to have to build a different way.
And what do you think their team needs are?
Offensive line still needs some help. Running back, if they don't re-sign Wilson or Mostert. They may move on from Xavier Howard at cornerback. Byron Jones and Howard, very, very expensive corners. That productivity has not always been there. And tight end. So if they move on from Gesicki. So a lot of it depends on, you know, what they lose. They don't have huge amounts of money to spend. They might have to sort of sit still with what they've got here and remember that if Tua had stayed healthy, they're one of the best offenses in the NFL and see what that brings next year.
So I was going to ask you about Tua, just part of your final thoughts, really, because he came in, as we mentioned just there, with his draft pick a few years ago. And you put in your notes here, they seem committed to him, but injuries remain a concern, right? So what do you think the future holds in that regard?
Well, I know we've got a question on Tua in the mailbag a little bit later, so I'll save some of my answer there. But my big question is, can he stay healthy? This is the issue now with the concussions were a real issue last year. He suffered the last of his concussions, and there were multiple, on Christmas Day against the Packers, and we never saw him play again. And the Dolphins were playing into middle of January. So that was a concern. And the defense really slipped off last year. It was the 27th against the pass, so one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. They've brought in legendary defensive coordinator in 64-year-old Vic Fangio. So that's my final thought with the Dolphins. Can he shore up that side of the ball? Because if he does, you know, this was a playoff team, even when they lost 5 in a row at the back end of last season. I like the head coach. We haven't talked about him, Mike McDaniel. So the Dolphins don't need a massive overhaul. You know, they are not far away, and they gave Buffalo a good game in the playoffs. It all hinges on Tua.
So let's move on to the only team in the AFC East that has cash to spend.
They have
a lot of it. The New England Patriots.
Yeah, so the Patriots, they've got about $37, $38 million of cap room. They went 8-9 last year. They were knocked out of the playoffs in the final week of the regular season, a road loss to Buffalo. I think of the Patriots, and this is a really kind of high-level viewpoint. Good on defense. Defense carries the team. Boring to watch. They are so tough to watch right now. And that's where I would start when they look at building this team and where they go moving forward.
Okay, so what are their key free agents that they could lose?
So Nelson Agholor at wide receiver, Jacoby Myers at wide receiver, but neither of those has done very much. Agholor had 31 catches, just 2 touchdowns last season. Damian Harris at running back, but his role's been reduced with Ramondre Stevenson coming along. Isaiah Wynn was a first-round pick tackle in 2018. I think he leaves. But the two big ones for me are Devin McCourty. He's 12 years a team captain, 3-time Super Bowl champ. He said around free agency he's going to announce whether he retires or comes back. He's a real team leader. And Jonathan Jones, he was a bit of an emerging star last year. 4 interceptions, he had 3 forced fumbles. He says that he considers New England to be home and he wants to return, but I think someone's going to try and break the bank to pry Jonathan Jones away, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was Miami.
And just looking at those free agents, again, you're listing the salaries, and if they're losing those players, they've got that $38 million. And my bad maths, which I quickly did on my phone, that gives them $73 million. And
yeah, they could, this is why you let players like that walk, because you know you can then reinvest that money somewhere else. Nelson Agholor has not worked out a wide receiver. Go and get another wide receiver who's on the market. If Jonathan Jones leaves, do you try and sign James Bradbury if he becomes available and doesn't re-sign with Philadelphia? So there are lots of ways these players move around. Free agency is, in many ways, free agency is more exciting than the draft. The draft is the traditional way to build your team. But the free agency period is interesting to a lot of fans because we know those players that are going to move back and forth.
So you mentioned the draft. Let's look at the options for the Patriots as well.
So 11 draft picks, first rounder at 14 overall. Five of those 11, though, are sixth round or lower. So your chances of hitting on those are not brilliant. But I shouldn't really say that when it's the New England Patriots.
They could be making another 199 picks.
Exactly.
Right?
Tom Brady of all the sixth round draft picks and of all the teams. So it can work out. And we know what happened with Brock Purdy, of course, seventh rounder for San Fran. But it all starts on the offense. 26th they ranked on offense last year, 20th in the passing game. They need playmakers at wide receiver to help Mac Jones. He regressed in 2022. They also need a tackle if Isaiah Wynn leaves. I think they need another cornerback. The defense is good, though. They were second in the NFL in takeaways. They scored a defensive touchdown. I think it was like 5 or 6 weeks in a row. That carried the team. But they just need to find, you know, the players that make you sit up and go, oh, wow, that was exciting. They need a few of those.
And you mentioned about Mac Jones regressing there. One of my good friends in the US, he's a Patriots fan, and he is depressed.
I'm not surprised he has to watch this team.
Yeah,
they are a tough watch at times.
And he's just saying about you know, the fact that they've obviously, how do you replace Tom Brady, right? They tried Cam Newton for a little bit, now they've got Mac Jones, but he's not the future, is he?
I don't know. See, because he had no... In year one, he was pretty decent. And in year two, he had no offensive coordinator. So when I sum up the Patriots, it's like, what impact will Bill O'Brien have as the offensive coordinator on the offense? Can Mac Jones turn it around? I think he's in a better situation. So I'm not going to give up on Mac Jones. But I do wonder how much longer Bill Belichick will coach as well. He turned 71 in April. But look, he had this team in the playoffs 2 years ago, and they weren't a very good team, and they lost to Buffalo. He had them in contention going into the final week of this season. And if they'd won, they'd have been in against Buffalo. So his coaching greatness is unquestioned. He just needs, they always say it's X's and O's or Jimmy's and Joe's. He needs some Jimmy's and Joe's. Do you like that?
I love it. I'm gobsmacked. I was thinking, I need to have a link into the New York Jets.
No, just to say the New York Jets.
Here we go. The New York Jets, Neil.
7-10 last year. They were looking good at mid-season. Had a 7-4 record. Injury struck. Breece Hall went down at running back. Elijah Vera Tucker on the offensive line. There was poor quarterback play. Zach Wilson was benched. Then they had to call him back, and it was really awkward because all the team had got behind Mike White, wearing Mike White t-shirts on the plane. And they ended the year with 6 straight losses. And they failed to score more than 6 points in the final 3 games and more than 17 in the final 5 games. They're $2.4 million over the cap, so that's very manageable.
I was going to say, they're just a Neil Reynolds over the cap.
They're absolutely fine. That's just my week. Yeah, it's just, what, monthly or annual? So, you know, that's where you start with them, is their offense was ranked 25th in the NFL in terms of yards gained, 29th in scoring. They have to be better on that side of the ball, and it all comes down to one position, really.
And like most teams, they've got some free agents that could be on the way out.
Yeah, not overly devastating. George Fant at tackle. I think they can invest in a young tackle through the draft. Connor McGovern, their center. Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle. LaMarcus Joyner at safety. And James Robinson at running back. I don't think they'll worry about Robinson too much because of the Breece Hall development before he got injured. One that's not kind of, I haven't mentioned here on our list of bits that we were going to talk about, Quinnen Williams is an outstanding defensive tackle. He's not a free agent, but he's also made it clear he's not coming to camp without a new contract. So that's kind of where it starts on the defensive side of the ball. Defense is very, very good. Fourth in the NFL, third against the pass, fourth in terms of points allowed. So it's clear when you look at where they need to add, it's the other side.
Is Quinnen Williams deserving?
Yeah,
that new
he's one of the best in the NFL.
Mainly, he was on this podcast as well. So.
He was on this podcast. Remember, Iron Man, big Iron Man fan.
Yeah,
big Iron Man fan.
Sorry, bless me. that's what he does, right?
Yeah, he does. Oh, yes. Sorry. I thought you actually did sneeze there. That's impressive. I'll catch up eventually. Yeah. Goodness me. Sorry, Gary. They got six draft selections, 13th overall in round one.
That's impressive, though, right? That could be an impressive draft.
Yeah, they can get that 13th pick. It's going to be too low down to get a quarterback, but they're playing the waiting game now. And this may date as we get this out, because it could be any day now. They're waiting to see Aaron Rodgers come from his darkness retreat and say he wants to be a New York Jet. He's 39 years old. Their number one target, I believe, is Aaron Rodgers. They want a veteran, proven quarterback.
But doesn't it make sense for Rodgers as a 49ers fan to go to the 49ers for 1 year?
It does. I think so. I think Rodgers to the 49ers would make them, well, they're already a Super Bowl contender. It would put them right there. But
it's Brady at Tampa.
But the Jets have one of the best defenses in the NFL. They have the offensive rookie of the year in wide receiver Garrett Wilson. They have the defensive rookie of the year in cornerback Sauce Gardner. They've got a running back who's outstanding in Breece Hall. They have got, you put a quarterback in there. Zach Wilson was a disaster. You put a quarterback in there and they want it to be Rodgers, I think. It could be Derek Carr.
I was going to say, I've read it could be Derek Carr.
I think Derek Carr is a very good option for them as well. You put a quarterback in and then this is a playoff team, because this was a team that was making some noise mid-season, 7-4. They just finished really badly. It all starts there. We're all waiting for Aaron.
Right, whatever happens, Mr. Rogers, like a beautiful day in the neighbourhood, Mr. Rogers, do not leave until this podcast is out.
No. Well, get it out there. This is on you then, Gary. It's a race between you and Aaron Rodgers. He might be pulling his curtains and letting the light back in.
Jerry Maguire cannot break that deal just yet. No. Wait for us.
I think there's other needs as well. They need a tackle. They need some offensive line help across the board. But this is all about the quarterback. Will it be Rodgers? Will it be Derek Carr? Do they make a move for Lamar Jackson, who's a free agent for Baltimore? We don't know how that's going to play out. Nathaniel Hackett is in as offensive coordinator. Him and Rodgers had a great relationship in Green Bay. So that's pointing towards Aaron Rodgers. And the good thing is now they've got good young players and they've shown signs of life. The bad thing for the Jets and for head coach Robert Saleh, your expectations are way higher. People are going to expect you to be that 7-4 team, not the team that finished with six straight losses.
Right, well, let's have a quick breather because I need a drink of water and then we'll be back in a moment.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
Right, Neil, so I've just had my drink of water and we're just going to have a quick break to talk about Elite Sports Travel, our kind sponsors. And while it is the NFL's off-season, they're still working. Ben is still at his computer booking trips, but he's booking them to the US for a totally different sport.
Yep, the packages are on sale for the Masters. So if you want to be one of the patrons at Augusta, this is your chance to be one of those. You can go to elitesportstravel.co.uk/golf. And as Ben has sort of told us many times, this it's about the golfers, right? But it's, I think, one of the attractions. It's a bit like when you go to SoFi Stadium. The stadium is as big a star as the players on the field. And that's what you got with Augusta, right? I mean, they say it's like the Disneyland of golf
courses. I was going to say, on Super Bowl, they say, I'm going to Disneyland. And yeah, literally fans would be golf like, and say, I'm going to Disneyland.
Yeah. Apparently, I mean, I know people that have been, and apparently it's just amazing. It looks great on TV, but apparently even better when you're there with all the flowers everywhere and the immaculate fairways and the caddies all decked out in white. It's brilliant. It's one for the bucket list. I think if you're a golf fan who wants to become a patron, definitely have to say patron when it's the Masters, don't you? It's patron.
You're now the patron saint of the Masters.
If you want to be a patron at the Masters, this is a bucket list thing.
You know what's really interesting as well, actually? I always find a way of bringing stuff back to Bruce Springsteen, but I just went to see him in the US when you were there for the Super Bowl, and I got to the merchandise truck and I saw all this stuff that you cannot get online, and I went nuts, and I'll have two of everything. And this old lady behind me was like, hey, honey, you've inspired me. So she started buying as well. And the reason I bring it up is because, did you know that the only place where you can get Masters merchandise is actually at the merchandise shop on site? So if you want to walk around, you know, your town with your Masters polo, you've got to go to the Masters and get it from that store, just like I did with my Bruce Springsteen tour merch.
Wow. That's amazing.
There you go. I just thought I'd throw it in there, and as Ben asked me to.
And, I do know that the guys at Elite Sports, they'll even look after your stuff while you enjoy the day. You haven't got to carry all that gear around with you. They do a whole range of packages. As we've said many times on this podcast, they are elite. It's in the name. The clue's in the name. They'll look after you from start to finish. So if you want to check out their packages for the Masters and want to be one of the patrons, then go to elitesportstravel.co.uk/golf. And don't shout, get in the hole!
Is that what I shout?
Yeah, apparently.
Touchdown.
Definitely don't shout that.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
This is 7-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
All right, welcome back. We're going to talk about the NFC East, the home of three playoff teams this year. Incredible. Three postseason participants from the same division. We'll start, Gary, with America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. It was another year where the Cowboys promised so much, but they came up short. They've not progressed past the divisional round of the playoffs since the 1995 season, and that was when they last won a Super Bowl, 27 years ago. And Cowboys fans will know this. Every year, expectations are through the roof. Team owner Jerry Jones, we're going to win the Super Bowl. We want the Super Bowl. I'm building a Super Bowl contender, and they can't get to the semifinal stage. They haven't been there since 95.
Well, I think their fans are feeling it as well. I saw an Instagram post from the NFL, and they had Mahomes and Josh Allen and a few others, and Dak Prescott was on it. And the question was, who are you building your franchise around? And all I saw was reams and reams and reams of Cowboys fans going, not Dak Prescott, not Dak Prescott. And it was
So if you think about the quarterbacks, I'm going to do this off the top of my head, that I paid more than $40 million or more. The first two I think of are Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Okay, I'm taking both of those. Aaron Rodgers is in that bracket, money. Jalen Hurts is about to enter that bracket of top-tier quarterbacks who are paid. Dak Prescott gets $40 million a year. And he led the NFL in interceptions last year, and he played five fewer games than anyone else because he broke his thumb. You shouldn't be doing that, right? And he didn't lead them past the 49ers again. So they went 12-5. Again, very impressive, the Cowboys, until it comes time to finish the job. They beat Tampa Bay in the wild card round. And for the second year in a row, they exited via the 49ers in the divisional round, and they couldn't get anything done on offense. And it was an offense that ranked 11th in the NFL. It was first the year before, and they were 14th in passing. Now, part of that is Dak going down, but Dak was part of the problem. And I think, I don't think he's won the fans over at all.
Well, clearly not on Instagram, no. Judging by my brief look at it. So they're $7.6 million over the cap, but they do have some free agents they could lose. So that's $7.6 million. They lose Dalton Schultz, and that cures that problem. But there are others there.
Yep, Dalton Schultz cost $11 million in 2022, so he'd be more than that going forward. Don't know if they keep him. Two linebackers, Leighton Van Der Esch, Anthony Barr, Anthony Brown at corner, Noah Brown at receiver, Brett Maher at kicker, probably going to go. I mean, he couldn't kick straight at the end of the season. The biggest one is Tony Pollard, and his numbers don't look great in terms of what they had to pay him last year. You know, about $800,000, but he's going to get paid, or would expect to get paid, like a premier running back in the NFL. Now, he had the nasty leg injury in the playoffs against the 49ers. He's going to be late coming back next season. Ezekiel Elliott is expensive. There's a lot of talk about them cutting Ezekiel Elliott. Jerry Jones loves Zeke. I think he'll be back. For me, this is about finding more in the passing game and more consistency from Dak Prescott. This is a big year for Dak Prescott, who's the reigning NFL Man of the Year now after winning that prestigious award at the Super Bowl. But like I said, he's certainly got a lot of questions about him, and the Cowboys are reportedly, as we head towards the draft, intrigued by CJ Stroud, who's a first round pick. He's going to be a first round pick. He's out of Ohio State. I don't think they can get up high enough to get him.
Okay, so let's talk about it. So they've got nine picks, mm-hmm. and their first round comes in at number 26.
26, yeah. So I don't think that's going to happen there. I think they would go wide receiver to play alongside CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is a true number one wide receiver. But I don't see them able to get a quarterback. And also, I don't think, you know, Rock really rocks the boat if you're really moving on from Dak Prescott then. So really, they've got to give Dak more weapons to work with. I think they add a cornerback. I think they go for their strength in their interior defensive line. But for me, wide receiver is their biggest need.
So what are your final thoughts on America's team?
Well, lots of change. I think this year coming up is going to be a kind of get it done or move on type year. So Mike McCarthy, the head coach, been under a bit of pressure. Fired his offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. Has gone to Brian Schottenheimer. They kept Dan Quinn in the building on defense. That's really good. But when a head coach starts firing his coordinators, it's kind of there's only one level before it's you, right? So I think Mike McCarthy, there's a lot of show us what you can do. And I think it's the same with Dak Prescott. And as I look at the Cowboys right now, they're what I think they were last year and the year before. They're a first or second round of the playoffs team, and then they'll be out.
Well, let's hope for the Cowboys that Brian Schottenheimer is as good as his name. That's a name and a half, right? Isn't it?
Good football name as well. His dad was a great coach with the Browns and the Chiefs.
Right, so we've done the Jets. Now let's do the New York Giants.
Very successful first year under Brian Daboll, who's named NFL Coach of the Year. They made the playoffs first time since 2016. They went 9-7-1, beat Minnesota 31-24 in the wild card round, lost 38-7. To Philadelphia. The class showed the difference in class. Now they've got money to spend, $43.3 million to spend, but huge questions. And we'll go through the list in a second. Huge questions here, because your two focal points of your attack, Daniel Jones at quarterback, Saquon Barkley at running back, are both heading to free agency. So for me, you franchise tag one and you try and pay the other. Now, I've got the numbers here.
So who are you franchise tagging?
So you franchise tag Daniel Jones because you buy yourself more time, I think, to see. Because even he had a good end to the season, but there were lots of parts of the year where he wasn't that dynamic. He had, I think, 15 touchdown passes in 16 games. That's nowhere near good enough. So I think you franchise Daniel Jones, and I would try to re-sign Saquon Barkley. I think they might let Barkley walk. I think it might, which would be a mistake to me because he was their centerpiece last year. Jones was on $6.4 million last year and he wants $45 million a year. He ain't getting that.
For that level, though, surely you can bring a more experienced head in.
They could bring in Derek Carr.
I was about to say, Derek Carr, I know people don't rate him that much, but he does it at times.
I think they want to keep Daniel Jones on board. They've seen something, but they need to see a lot more. So the way you do that is franchise tag, pay him the average of the top five at the position. It's not as expensive. Other free agents, Richie James at wide receiver came on late. I think they'll get rid of Sterling Shepard. He's 30 now, had some injury problems. He cost $10.25 million last year. The big signing on defense for me has got to be Julian Love at safety. He was one of their leaders, one of their cheapest players on defense last year, about $800,000. But he is he's a playmaker and he's a good leader. But lots of questions here with the Giants. And when I look at their needs, it depends what they do in the next.
Well, their draft is going to be interesting
weeks,
as well, because they've got 11 picks.
Yeah. But they're late. They're late.
10 of them are very, very late.
Yeah, so 11 picks, 25th in round one they pick. But five of those picks are from 209 onwards. I think they will need a running back if they don't go for Saquon Barkley. They definitely need wide receivers. I mean, it was a kind of mishmash of guys. And they stepped up. They stepped up down the stretch, but they weren't quality receivers. So we don't really know how to judge Daniel Jones yet until we know what he's working with at receiver. So I think they need receivers. They need to bolster their offensive line. They could do with another pass rusher on the edge. But this is a team that won a lot of close games last year and they're very, very well coached. So now I want to see, do they maintain or do they take a backward step?
So you've addressed the Jones issue and Barkley, but any other thoughts?
I just think it is the bit that worries me was close wins. Close wins can turn into close losses very quickly and very easily. So have they done enough or will they do enough in the coming weeks to continue to be competitive in what is a really tough division? And they could go anyway with those two players, Jones and Barkley. They could franchise tag Barkley. I don't think they will because of the value of the quarterback position, but that's where it all starts for me. You know, I'd try and keep both, but I wouldn't commit long-term and expensively to Daniel Jones just yet.
Okay, so how's your car, Neil?
How's my car?
Yeah. Didn't park it in Philadelphia?
No, I wouldn't want to do that. Would it still be there?
Well, let's get on to
I don't know,
them
are they
Eagles.
Worse when they lose or when they win? I'm not sure.
And I saw that I was in New Jersey for this and everyone was going on. They were just like, we pity Philadelphia. And I was like, why? They're like, well, have you seen they've been greasing the lampposts in case they win? But win or lose, that city's...
going to get burnt down.
That city's having a good time tonight.
Well, they had so an outstanding...
Are they going to have a good season next year?
Yes. They had an outstanding season this year. 14-3. It was a breakout year for Jalen Hurts. As we know, they thrashed the Giants and the 49ers in the playoffs, lost one of the greatest Super Bowls ever, 38-35 to the Chiefs. Only $2.7 million over the cap. But I'll read these out, actually, Gary, because this is really
I was going to say, I don't want to start asking you questions because there is a long...
This is where it starts, right? This is why... So. I believe in Jalen Hurts. Absolutely. He's an absolute star. I believe in Nick Sirianni as head coach. Howie Roseman has done a great job as the general manager. He built an offense that was third in the NFL, a defense that was second in the NFL, number one against the pass, historically good in terms of sacking the quarterback. But these are their free agents. As it stands right now, these players are heading out the door. All from the defensive line. All we talked about last year was the rotation. They come at you in waves. all of these guys from the defensive line are free agents. Fletcher Cox, Robert Quinn, Brandon Graham, Javon Hargrave, Ndamukong Suh, Linval Joseph. Let's move on to the two starting linebackers behind them, Kaiser White, TJ Edwards, both free agents. Let's go to an all-pro cornerback, James Bradbury. He's a free agent. Safety, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson led the NFL in interceptions. He's a free agent. Let's veer over to the offense. Best offensive line in the NFL. All-pro center, Jason Kelce, is a free agent, could retire. Guard, Isaac Siamalo, free agent. Andre Dillard, and then two running backs, Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. Sanders was the first 1,000-yard rusher the Eagles have had since LeSean McCoy in 2014. That is an absolute eye-opening laundry list of talent that is available for other teams to pick off.
How many of them are they keeping?
So I think they move on from Fletcher Cox. They move on from Quinn. Graham is a difficult one. He's a team leader. I think they'll try and keep Brandon Graham. Javon Hargrave is probably one of the top two or three free agents available in this entire class, regardless of position. I think he's going to break the bank somewhere else, so I think they lose him. I think James Bradbury would go. I think Chauncey Gardner-Johnson stays. Kelce will stay. Miles Sanders will go at running back, I reckon. I think they'll probably keep a couple of the linebackers. There's no doubt they're going to have a huge hole left in their roster. And consider this. Jalen Hurts, he's played 3 years now. They don't have to do this now, but he's going to be antagonizing for it or moving for it. He is due a contract right now, or he can be given an extension. He accounted for less than 1% of their salary cap last year. He had a salary of $1.6 million. He's going to be a $50 million a year quarterback. How do you then replenish that via free agency with no money to spend because you're tying it up in Jalen Hurts? It's going to be quite
the
challenge
now
for Howie Roseman.
Now's the time for him to be striking, right? He's had that incredible season. He's got a great Super Bowl. They could have won it. They lost it to a field goal.
Yep. And they could have. And I think they're going to have to pull off a couple of great moves. They traded for AJ Brown last year. I mean, this is where free agency helped. Like they drafted 10 of their 11 starters on offense, but they went out and got 9 of their 11 starters on defense, either via trade or free agency. So they splashed the cash for them. You can't do that again if you're paying Jalen Hurts. So how do they do that? I'd be fascinated to see, because I trust Howie Roseman. But the draft is going to be vital.
I'll say the draft is their opportunity to replenish with some rookies.
They have to. Two first-round picks, number 10 and number 30. I guess when you look at their needs, it depends what happens again. Defensive line, I've got to think they're going to need to replenish defensive line. They're going to need another running back. They may need some help in the secondary. They may need some offensive line help. I mean, the reason they've done it before, so I believe they can do it again. But this might be one of the most challenging situations for a team that was in the Super Bowl the year before.
So any other thoughts outside of that Hurts conundrum? Because Hurts is going to hurt them.
Yeah, no, I think that's where it all like rests at the moment, is how many of those free agents do they re-sign? How many do they want to re-sign? Can they sign any others? They are very, very good at building a roster. Now, they're going to have to be creative in how they finance all of this. But here's a positive to end. People are going to want to play with Jalen Hurts, right? People are going to see this is a special talent, a superstar, a player that could have the Eagles in the Super Bowl or in that Super Bowl contention for the next 10 years. So they're going to attract free agents. They just need to find a way to work the finances because, they are facing a very challenging few months.
Right, well, challenging few months. A team that has had a challenging few seasons. Washington Commanders.
Let's end with Washington for today. They were briefly relevant in mid-season. They won 6 of 7. They finished 8-1. But the offense let down a good defense yet again. Carson Wentz wasn't the answer at quarterback. They got about $7 million to spend in the salary cap, but the numbers are glaring. The offense was 20th, 21st in passing, 21st, 4th in scoring. Defense was 3rd overall, 4th against the pass, 7th in scoring. They just need to find a long-term answer at quarterback. And I'm not sure head coach Ron Rivera is making all the right noises about that.
But what's happened to Wentz? Because he was a good performer in Philadelphia.
He was, and he got injured. And I've now heard through the gridiron grapevine, I'm going to call it, there's not a lot of respect for Wentz around the league.
Really? Why?
He makes too many mistakes.
Oh, what?
He tries
so
to
that
do
respect
too
is
much
gone now.
From other players that have been on teams with him. He tries to make too much happen when he has the ball. He's kind of clumsy with the football. He turns it over too much. He's a fading force. And you know, I listed out some of the guys they've had at quarterback. Kyle Allen, Alex Smith, our friend Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitz didn't have a chance. He hurt his hip in the first week of the season. But Fitz was only going to be a 1 or 2 year thing. He retired after that year with Washington. Wentz wasn't the answer. Taylor Heinicke wasn't the answer. And I worry about desperation. And Sam Howell was their quarterback last year for the one game, the last game of the season against Dallas. He threw 19 passes. He was their third string quarterback all year. And Ron Rivera, the head coach, has said, Sam Howell is our number one quarterback going into the offseason. He's the one that's, it's his job to lose. I don't get it. After 19 passes?
What's
and I talked to our
training
friend, F.A. Abada. I talked to F.A. about that. He went, did coach really say that? Because F.A. plays for Washington. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. So I don't know what they're looking at there. Free agents, wise.
Well, F.A.'s on the free agency list.
F.A. is on there. I think they re-sign him. Ron Rivera loves him. Taylor Heinicke, I think, moves on at quarterback. Trey Turner at guard. The big one is Daron Payne, defensive tackle. They've got a really good defensive line, and I think they re-sign Daron Payne or they franchise tag him. And they need to get Chase Young back. He was the first pick a couple of years back. Just had some real injury issues, virtually wiped out all of last season. But they've got 8 draft picks, 16th overall they pick in round one.
Can they trade up? They want to trade up, surely.
You got to get to about 7, I reckon, 7 or 8 to get one of the quarterbacks in this draft. We'll see. Is that Sam Howell stuff for real or is that a smokescreen? I don't know. At the moment, again, I see this team as what they were this year. They were briefly relevant. They were tough at times because of their defense. They had their moments. They were as good as they were bad. You can see that by the record. They won 8, they lost 8, they drew 1. But they need to find a viable long-term quarterback solution. In a league of haves and have-nots at the most important position, Washington are among the have-nots.
So outside of the quarterback, is there anything else to make them relevant? What else do you think they need to do?
I think something extra next to Terry McLaurin, I think, would be good. He's one of the star wide receivers in the NFL. So I think just make him a little bit punchier on offense. But that, again, will go back to the quarterback. But I think giving whoever that is at quarterback more weapons. And look, there's a whole backdrop here of dysfunction with the ownership being forced to sell the team, Daniel Snyder, because of allegations of sexual misconduct in the highest corridors of power with that team. This has been a toxic environment for years. Washington were one of the proudest and loudest fan bases in the NFL. Last year, you could buy a ticket on StubHub to one of their home games for $6.
Wow.
I mean, that says it all, right?
I'm surprised they were charging that much.
Well, yeah, you tried to give them away. So. Right, well, that's done the AFC East and NFC East. Next week, we'll be back with one of our stories from our special guests, so more like the normal format. But we will touch in on the other divisions as we go in the next couple of weeks leading up to free agency on March the 13th. Let's do a little mailbag, shall we?
Yeah, we'll be back after this break.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aerohit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Neil, that is the sound of paper coming out of the mailbag. It wasn't really, I was just shaking it. We don't actually have a mailbag.
Can we get one for next year?
We should really, if you want to sponsor that.
Oh, wow.
We'll have a mailbag with a sponsor on it, like a shirt
shocking.
Sponsor.
That is absolutely
like
shocking.
A sleeve sponsor.
I mean, I like it, yeah. And I'm not sure how they're going to go for it, but we'll give it a try.
The mailbag, sponsored by Royal Mail. It means we'll always be about 5 episodes too late.
Oh, there's another apology. Again, that's please send all your complaints to Gary Hayes. Do you want to read a question before we go into
too much trouble? Blushing now. I'm blushing. Right, let's get into these questions. So, I sort of went a bit earlier on with chatting about Tua and his contract. So Peter Hughes says, Neil, should the Finns give Tua a new contract, fifth-year option, or wait to see how next season goes?
So this is very similar to what the Giants did with Daniel Jones this season just gone. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option, so they played out the season. So Miami could play out this season and then let Tua then decide what to do with Tua. I'm tempted to do that. I think it's fair to ask, would this offense be better with an Aaron Rodgers at the helm? Would it have been better with Tom Brady at the helm? I think that's a fair question to ask, because Tua has, I think he's clearly grown and his numbers were great, but he had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. The injuries are an issue now. He's missing 3 or 4 games per year. That's a consistent. So if I'm Miami, I'm not giving him I'm not putting him into that $40 million per year club yet. I just haven't seen enough. I haven't seen enough consistency. I haven't seen enough reliability in terms of, or durability, should I say. So I think push it down the road if you're Miami. Let him have another good season. And then you can commit to him.
Okay. So, well, I think this mailbag is aimed at you because we have another Dolphins question. excuse me. So from Paul Maguire, Neil, what moves do the Dolphins need to make in draft and free agency to compete with the Bills? Now, this is a test for me because these are all abbreviated positions. Now, let's see if I've got this right.
Go on.
Cornerback, offensive line, linebacker and running back. Are all positions of need, IMO, in my opinion. This is... See, I'm down with the kids.
Keep going.
IMO, this is the year to draft a running back and a linebacker in the second or third rounds and bring in a vet, cornerback and... LG?
Left guard.
Left guard. Maybe even trade X to allow Fangio to bring in more of his own guys. God, I'm getting
tired. Do you think they should trade X?
Well... Does X plus Y equal 1?
Do you know who X is?
No.
So we talked about him earlier. Xavier Howard.
Oh, okay, right. This is where I start getting abuse right. Now and people commenting going, you need a producer who knows the NFL.
You're just asking the questions. I like the way you're learning on the job, though. People appreciate that.
I'm learning more.
So a couple of things. I definitely think they need more help on the offensive line. That was an issue, even though they brought in Terron Armstead, who's an all-pro left tackle, but you should have seen his injury report by the end of the season. It was like head, shoulders, knees and toes. It was like that song. It was. Well, what's the one where it's like, your shin bone's connected to your knee bone's connected to you.
That's the same song, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
No,
my nursery rhymes aren't the best.
Toes.
I'm just trying to work out the abbreviated positions, let alone nursery rhymes.
So he had a laundry list of injuries and needs a decent backup. Offensive line, running back I could see to a degree. They don't have a premier running back like a Christian McCaffrey, like a Josh Jacobs. But Mike McDaniel likes a stable of them and he likes to run them all through. That's why we had last year. You had Chase Edmonds at the start of the year. You had Mostert. You had Jeff Wilson. If those guys go, they definitely need to draft one. And I could see them moving on from Howard. I think they might trade X while he's got some value. I could definitely see that happening. Defense needs bolstering as well. So they are, you know, I said to you, I think Miami are not far away, but there's a lot they can do if they can find that room to maneuver.
Okay. Right. So Mark Rowbottom, Neil, do you think Washington should go with Howell as quarterback one? And do you think that is more or less likely now that we have Bieniemy?
Eric Bieniemy
now at OC.
Offensive coordinator.
Offensive, not Orange County. Like the team.
I'll quickly on this one, because I kind of touched on Sam Howell already. I can't believe you're going to invest and commit to him after 19 passes in the NFL unless you've seen something amazing behind the scenes. Bieniemy might want his own guy now. He's the offensive coordinator coming in from the Chiefs. It's a big year for Bieniemy. Couldn't get a head coaching job working under Andy Reid because it was always felt like Andy Reid called the plays. Ron Rivera is a defensive coach. Bieniemy is an offensive coach now. Any impact that he's had on the offense in Washington this year is going to be attributed to Bieniemy. So he's going to want a quarterback, and trust me, he's going to want a quarterback that's thrown more than 19 passes in the NFL.
Okay, right. Peter Dowling. Simple question. What do Dallas do about Zeke?
So I think Jerry Jones likes him too much. He only averaged 3.8 rushing yards per game last year. Went from being Zeke's team to a job share between Zeke and Tony Pollard to Pollard being the leader in that backfield. Tony Pollard is injured now and he's going to miss the start of the season. Zeke is a proven commodity. They might ask him to take a pay cut, but I think he'll be back.
Right, last question of this podcast, Neil, from Giant 0078. And we sort of touched on this already, so a little bit more detail. Is there any possibility that the Giants do move on from Daniel Jones?
I'd say no. I think if we were playing fantasy football or looking for headlines or trying to justify an argument, you could absolutely justify a reason for them to move on. You know, I said the production wasn't brilliant until late in the season. Turnovers were an issue his first few years in the NFL. He cleaned that up last year. But it's not going to happen because they've already spoken so outlandishly about how much they like him and like his game and want to develop him and want to build around him. They're going to make it work. They just got to make the finances work. You know, he should be in that sort of $35 million a year range, not 45. I just don't put him in that same bracket as the Josh Allens and the Patrick Mahomes of the world.
Is that bartering though? That's just coming in of like aim high.
That got leaked. That got leaked a day after he fired his old agency and hired a new agent. So I reckon it came from the old agency saying, look what he was trying to get. And then he fired us. I don't think he's getting that sort of money. But I do think he's going to be a New York Giant next year and for years to come.
And is that a good thing? Just for the sake of Giants 0078, they need to know.
Based on the way they finished the season, against the Minnesota Vikings was the best game Daniel Jones played. Decisive and accurate through the air. Dangerous on the ground, running. I just need to see more of it. I need to see more of it. That's why they didn't commit to a fifth-year option, but now they've got to pay it. Now they've got to commit, and now they've got to pay him. How much they pay him is the key, but I still believe he can be built into a very good quarterback. So, yes, if I'm a Giants fan, I still have hope that Daniel Jones is going to be something special for us. He's not there yet. He's got a long way to go. He's got a good coach who can help him in Brian Daboll.
Okay, right. That was the last question from fans. Question from me now. I read about this just yesterday. So I loathe to promote stuff we're not getting paid for, like Elite Sports Travel and others. But are you going to be watching Quarterback on Netflix? It looks amazing.
I will. It does look great. And my guy, Kirk Cousins, is one of them.
I saw it and I thought of you. I thought, oh, look, there's Neil's buddy. I wonder if Neil's going to appear.
So you think about the stories, and they would have picked these quarterbacks before they knew what their stories were going to be.
Incredible.
Mahomes on one leg through the playoffs. How did he cope with that? I want to see that, you know, and how did he feel between those games? Was he panicking that he wasn't going to make the Super Bowl? Was he gutted that he wasn't going to be the
player? Do you think he'd have allowed the cameras in for that?
Let's find out. That's what I want to see. If this program is what it's being built to be, then I would hope I see that.
It's amazing because it's got all the different, the Super Bowl winner, Kirk Cousins, and then Mariota.
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins had a career year and in terms of wins, and they had the most craziest season. They had the most bizarre season you're ever going to see. They had 10 one-score victories, and the only one-score game they lost was to the Giants in the playoffs. Imagine they won 10 all year, and the one they needed the most, they lost. So they got the greatest comeback in NFL history was from the Vikings. And Mariota left the team halfway through the season. Lost the starting job. His wife had a baby, and he left the team. And no one's quite sure how that transpired or why or how. So I want to see all of that in, what's it called? Quarterback.
Quarterback. Very imaginative name.
A bit like the Neil Reynolds podcast. Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, I saw and I thought, I wonder if Neil's going to appear on a Kirk Cousins FaceTime or something where he's sat there just that, chilling and Neil dials in and he's like, hey, Kirk.
I did it with Kirk in the training camp. I was out there with him and Justin Jefferson and Adam
Netflix
Thielen.
Cameras there?
No, I don't. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I want to see, whether you randomly appear.
And I do text him at times during the season and he replies. Imagine if he's like, oh.
Yeah. Hey, this limey is texting me again.
Well, on that note, we'll be back next week. We'll have another story from the world of football for you on the Neil Reynolds podcast. My thanks to producer Gary Hayes. Thank you for listening and for sending in your questions. And we'll catch you next time. Bye for now. Listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.